Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
With me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
And me, Kate Rhodes. Maysoon, here's my art experience that I had in the last few days.
Okay.
I went over there to the Herps Theater.
Oh, that's in the Veterans Building.
Like last Friday or something. And sure enough, I went and saw a live recording of Says You.
Oh, you were at that? You were there?
Yeah. It's like my...
It's just like, it's so... I do like
oh,
it.
Oh, we went for
I like
Valentine's
it.
Day.
Aw.
Yeah.
I like it because I do like a trivia show, but it's just so...
Not really trivia.
It's so boring. You know what I mean? wait. Can you remind me? Let's remind me and the listeners what this show is.
Okay,
again,
basically...
It's fast, it's fun, it's some of the most colorful radio on the air.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
It is a quiz show on the radio where there are questions and kind of puzzle things.
And people can call in and also provide questions, right? Is
well,
that a different one?
The listeners write in and can supply the games that the contestants play.
Okay.
And the contestants are two teams of three, including, almost always including, Carolyn Faye Fox, who is like, always has the best puns.
What is the real definition of the real word diesel?
Diesel. One of Frank Zappa's kids.
And then this guy, Murray, and then lots of people. Like, the last time I heard it when they recorded it in San Francisco, Mina Kim from KQED was on it.
Oh, yeah, I know
Mina
Kim. She's got a great voice.
She was really good. Holy shit. They recorded two episodes.
Who's that?
Who's who?
Holy shit.
What?
Just
I feel like we're playing
a bad
Says
joke.
You right now.
Okay, go ahead. What were you saying?
Okay. They recorded two episodes in a row.
With you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Crazy.
There was an intermission, like a 15-minute intermission in between, and it did feel like my life was slipping away. It was so long. And we were by far the youngest people in the audience.
For sure.
Everybody was like 95.
It feels like a very Berkeley type of
scene. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Older, white, intellectual, like, you know, educated, whatever.
Yes.
Person. I don't know.
And Katie loved it. Our friend Willoughby also came with us, and they were having the time of their lives.
So were they, like, answering from the audience?
They got wine from the little
the
bar
kiosk
thing outside,
yeah,
which you cannot take into the Herps Theater. You only can bring bottled water.
Oh.
And sure enough, a lot of it is just them rambling, like,
yeah,
oh, Wisconsin.
It's just
Tennessee,
a little bit boring. Like, none of them have, like,
Denver.
A Rachel Carson discussion.
That would be the environment. She wrote Silent Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you.
Very good.
Okay. Silent.
So a Rachel Carson discussion would be a
chat.
Talk,
chat.
Oh,
is another word, yes, but not the,
it's
right,
not the right one.
One,
no.
Back and forth.
A civil discussion.
Civil discussion.
If you and I had a civil discussion, you could call it a...
Rarity?
does this also go on at night? Is it on
the
radio?
It went on forever.
Wait, on the radio, though, does
no,
it air?
No, it's on Sundays at 4 p.m.
Okay. I think I know which one you're talking about. And I feel like there's not, like, they don't have a lot of, like, music playing on the show.
Well, they do have a musical guest, which I psychically knew it was just going to be some kind of, like, bluegrassy three-piece.
It always is. Again, Berkeley. Again, Berkeley.
So that was
wow.
A real experience.
So what were can you remember any, like, exciting questions
Maysoon,
or moments?
Maysoon, honest to God, the longest one that really, like, put me over the edge between, like, oh, this is really fun and cool, to, like, oh, my God, how long are we going to be here? Was they are like, I'm going to name counties and you have to name what state they're in.
Oh, fucking A. Counties.
Like, they really, the poor contestants.
I'd be like, LA?
Yeah, the poor contestants. Well, and not just that, but all the contestants are also older white people.
Yeah.
And so, like, of course it's counties in the United States, many of them are Native American names.
Yeah.
And they were kind of making fun of them in a way that I felt was
racist.
No,
you're kidding me. Like they were mispronouncing them and being like jerky about it?
Yeah, or like just making fun of it. It's like, well, that's not a word.
Kind of racist.
It's like, yeah, there were a lot of like problematic moments.
Weird.
Yeah. And I was like,
and they just thought they were being like,
okay, so overall score, God, I'd have to give
five.
It. Yeah, I'd maybe give it a 5.3. I had a great time with Katie. I give Katie Kondo a 10 out of 10 plus an 11 out of 10.
I think so.
And our friend Willoughby also. But says you live taping, maybe just stay for the first half and then bail. Honestly, I could never get into, Katie would listen to the show and I'd be like, how are we listening to this? Like, it's like trying to, our friend Willoughby said, it's like trying to listen to people like solve a crossword puzzle.
It's so true.
It's that's like the hour
that's
of
such
that.
A good description.
Yeah. The one of the hazards.
Is this one of the most boring shows we've ever done?
Yes. We are going to cut all
we
of this.
We are basically the most boring talk show ever.
Okay. Point is, Maysoon, we got some writers in. We got some listener feedback from listener Veronica sent us an email.
All right.
And she said, just sat down to fill out my ballot and needed a good voter
yes!
guide.
Yes. Sorry, I feel so happy about that.
To get perspective, congratulations, Pine Tree came through in spades. Thank you for doing the research. Thank you. Yay.
Thanks,
thank you,
Veronica.
Thank
We're
you
so
for
glad
listening.
To know.
Thank you so much for listening to the show.
We also know a friend of the show, Zoe Teleporis, who we recently interviewed about the artwork at SFO at the Hyatt, was also using our voter guide.
Yeah, thanks everybody. And so we put, great. Of course, also links in the show notes to check out other voter guides. You know, don't just take our word. I mean, everybody, Zoe said to us, like, hey, I use it as part of my research.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then that's great. That's how it's intended.
But we were also on point with everything she was looking at.
Well,
so
we're correct in all our opinions.
We're basically right. So that's how that works.
That's another podcast. Our opinions are correct.
Is that really a podcast?
Yeah. Okay. Quick note. There's a show called Aided Inspired Multiplied at Pro Arts Gallery and Commons. Did you know they added a Commons on? And it's up through March.
No Commons.
That's obsessive you shit. Okay, and it is up through March 7th, and this is a show by Kathleen King, a.k.a. Kathy King, and you can get there. It's right near 12th Street BART. It's open Thursdays and Fridays from 12 to 6, so get in there, check it out.
There's a new show opening at Cloaca Projects.
Okay, yes, week. They have a show called Hot Q by Sahar Khoury, Laura Sarkeesian, and Ezra Kanugulari, a.k.a. Club Chai.
Yeah.
And that is February 22nd through April 18th, opening, reception, and performance this Saturday, February 22nd
it's
at 8:30.
Gonna be so good. Please go. If you hear this, just... Club Chai is amazing.
Okay, here's a little side story. I accidentally was working on finishing a comic a couple years ago for SF Zine Fest, and I was here in my studio, and Club Chai had an event here at RTS, and I was working on my shit straight up until 4 in the morning. With that going on almost the entire time. And I felt like...
Was it keeping you, like, motivated?
I don't know. There were parts where the music was like, you know, I felt like the music was mad at me. Where it would be like, you know you're a bitch. Boom, boom, boom.
You're like, oh my God, I have to finish this. The music is mad at me.
I'm like, they're mad at me. And then I was like really not wanting to go out to go to the bathroom.
You're like, I don't want to be social. I'm scared.
Well, and I was like not wanting to like, it was like dim in our common area where they were having the event. And I didn't want to like open my door and
blast
have like.
It with some fluorescence.
Yeah, like blaring spotlight. Okay, Montalvo. Didn't we talk about them last time?
I don't know.
Montalvo's got a thing happening. Check them out. Montalvo.com.
I think also this weekend, there's an opening at, it might not be this weekend. See, this is my problem. DeRosa, Davina Semo has an opening at DeRosa coming up.
Oh, sweet.
Which will be interesting. I think it might be one of Amy Owens's, maybe one of her last shows. I'm not sure.
Where did she go to again?
She's at the McAvoy Foundation.
Oh, that's right.
Davina Semo Core Reflections opens to the public Saturday, February 22nd, which is also this weekend. And it the show goes through June 28th. It's really quite a long show. So head on over to DeRosa if you have a little weekend. Have yourself a weekend excursion.
Have yourself a little weekend.
I still want to go there and do the art tour, like the on the grounds art tour. Have you done that yet?
Kind of, because...
Do they put you in a golf cart and drive you around?
Well, yeah, they did when I did it because it was Sad Vicious.
Oh.
Did when they had that show there.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Tongue in cheek. Okay. Kari Marbo also sent us an email saying, thank you for your humor and intelligence.
Kari Marbo currently has a show called Duplicating Daniel over at the Mills College Art Museum. I highly recommend you see it because she's amazing. And she's currently teaching there. And she's amazing. That's mostly what I meant to say.
And we got a nice shout out also from Ethan Rafel.
Ethan, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to the Bernie campaign headquarters
at Mission and 18th
Mission
Street.
Mission and 18th Street.
We also have one just opened in Oakland at 14th and Broadway.
So speaking of Bernie.
Okay, let's just debate. Set a timer for 5 minutes and we can go off again about the presidential
primary. We'll go back
primary.
To the art eventually, but this week has been kind
Whatever.
Of on
We've
one.
Been, and like, we get an excuse because I've been having a medical condition. Okay, ready? Okay, and go.
All right, so today's Thursday. We're recording this episode on Thursday. And the Democrat, which number is this, like the sixth Democratic debate?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
12?
Millions.
Who knows?
Who cares?
The Democratic debate was on Wednesday, so yesterday, and it was the first time Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
It really feels like the reality show on Netflix, The Circle, because every time we keep losing tons of people, and then all of a sudden new people show
arrive.
Up.
Right.
So now it's down to six, but one of those is a brand new contender, Michael.
Yeah, who just showed up.
Bloomberg.
And he was not fucking ready, man. He just got his face chewed off.
And I mean, they admitted it. He like went and spoke at a place the next day and was like, "That was rough." Like,
yeah.
And like,
His whole campaign was like Bloom, you know, was basically like he's just warming up kind of a thing. It's
and I'm like, damn, he was ice cold.
Yeah.
If that's him
he
warming
was
up.
Ice cold. It's
that
true.
Was like bad as fuck.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And, you know, we, of course, have endorsed Bernie Sanders here on the show.
And we stand
but that
by it.
Doesn't mean we can't appreciate Elizabeth Warren fucking torpedoing that motherfucker to shreds.
She was amazing. She won that debate. I think. Like,
I kind of agree.
I mean,
you know,
she just
Bernie
killed
just
it.
Is
she really
always
came
very
out.
The same. Like, he always is saying the shit that needs to be said.
Yes.
He's very, like, you know, he hammers his points that are, like, the points that are most important to me, that, like, wealth disparity is, like, a critical fucking problem.
Yes.
Corruption and fuckery is fucking up our government. Like, that's some basic shit. But, like, Warren was coming in, like, doing motherfucking, like, I don't know, coming from every direction on this motherfucker.
She was fully prepared.
She blasted
it was
right
amazing.
Out the gate with fucking horse face lesbians.
Right, that was something
that
Bloomberg
was the,
had said.
Yeah, that was something Bloomberg was quoted as calling women horse face lesbians.
I hadn't even heard that. I was like, wow, what a fucking
if
thing to say.
Had a like 100 years to guess what was going to be said at that debate, that would never
that would
have
never
made my list.
Ever have been there.
Bloomberg was shooting up in the polls up to like 15%, like past Biden and everybody. He was like second place in
recently?
Some national polls. Yeah.
How is it? Do you know how we did after the debate? Because I feel like those polls had to have dropped. Holy
I don't
shit.
Know. I don't know. Because I'm kind of like, are the people who were saying, yeah, let's get Bloomberg in there, did they know? Do they watch the debates? Do they care? Are they very engaged? Or is it just based off of name recognition?
Well, our country does have a thing with like popularity.
Yeah.
Famous people.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yep. And he's already spent like
those things.
Almost $500 million on ads.
In the 10 weeks he's been running.
Yeah.
It's been like 10 weeks.
Yeah.
That's less than 3 months.
And he's not even in any. He's not in the Nevada primary or South Carolina.
How does that work? How is
he hasn't
not-
been in any of them. And he's not. He's just like gunning for Super Tuesday, hoping he can get a huge share of the vote out of that.
How do they determine why wasn't he in those other primaries, though?
He didn't
make it in time
or
something?
He didn't
enter in time?
File. Yeah. I think he could have gotten
in time.
I didn't
realize
that.
And he just was, he's being like strategic.
Why didn't you spend any money on somebody to help you prepare for the fucking debate?
Yeah.
Because you came off
you definitely
like
needed
a complete
Good riddance,
asshole.
Dude. That's okay. I'm fine with that. I like that they all were just going for him. Everyone, yeah. It's like there was a clear message that was discussed before the debate. It's like, we're all here to take Bloomberg down, period.
Yeah.
I thought that seemed pretty clear to me.
I don't know if they like shared that together because also.
No, I doubt it. But yeah. It was seemed to be the strategy for each of them. Warren happening to be the most fucking rad and awesome and just like firebrand, man. She was like.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, you got 15 seconds to wrap it up.
Go Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie all the way.
Go Bernie. Down the Bloomberg.
There's another debate in like a week.
The questions were really fucking lame for the most part. Oh, I just thought it was like a shit poorly show moderated. Of questions.
They got to get me to moderate.
It was like a crappy reality TV show. It really made me miss Gwen Ifill.
Aw, God rest her.
Loved her. She was the best in the debates.
Okay, Mason, let's move on to local politics.
Oh.
We actually have some new correspondents coming in to really school us on local politics. So we got Carla and Freddie coming in, and here they are.
Hello, this is Freddie.
Hi, this is Carla.
Well, I don't know about you, Carla, but I've been really reading about this Muhammad Nuru situation in San Francisco.
Okay, now what happened with that? That's the guy who was in charge of public works, and it turned out that he spent like $5,000 on fixing Mayor London Breed's car. Is that right?
I think that's one of the things.
And he also was like, if she would have a campaign event, he would go and like send his crews to go clean up the area.
Yep.
But when I heard about
that. But that's not the main reason why he got arrested.
Yeah, by the FBI, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what was up with that?
Well, supposedly there were some inside dealings, you know. To be expected in city government.
Okay, so there was an ongoing FBI investigation into government corruption in San Francisco, and there were federal fraud charges against Muhammad Nuru and restaurateur Nick Bovis.
Right,
you know that about guy. That?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know about him until this article, because I'm not really in that scene.
Right. Because you work at Halson's Flower Repository.
I work at they're in the Flower Mart. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm hanging out most of the time.
And of course you know me. I'm a bird supervisor. So the city's attorney's office, I'm reading here from an article on the Chronicle. How did I get into this? I don't have a subscription. The city attorney's office is leading a separate internal probe into the extent of any potential self-dealing tied to allegations around Nuru. And so it really looks bad that the mayor was just taking money from this guy.
Yeah.
To, like, fix her car or whatever. But then doesn't it also turn out that they were dating a while back?
Yeah, but that's you know, whatever.
Everybody that's knew fine. About that.
People it date was people. A it's cool. Years ago. Well, what's interesting to me is that when Nuru got, you know, picked up by the FBI, let's say, they let him out of jail on the condition or whatever it was, on the condition that he wouldn't say anything. And the first thing he did was he like warned people in City Hall so that they could
hide all their shit.
And then he got thrown in jail because he did exactly what he wasn't supposed to do almost immediately.
And no, the other thing that is bothering me about all these mayors and mayor's offices and whatnot is London Breed and many other mayors across the country went ahead and endorsed Mike Bloomberg for president.
That's right. I don't know about that. Why would a mayor of such a progressive city like San Francisco endorse Mike Bloomberg?
Money.
What?
It had to be money, right?
Do you think they got paid? Do you think Bloomberg paid the mayor of San Francisco to endorse him?
Well, I think it was a little different. Kind of not a such a one-for-one, but...
Because I heard he's been paying off a lot of people.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know that Mayor London Breed was part of some, like, mayor summer camp that Bloomberg started with all his billions of dollars. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's such a like straightforward, here's a suitcase full of money for you to endorse me, as it is like...
I mean, realistically, if you look at Mayor Breed's policies and what she's more interested in, it's definitely like big money, corporations, and tech, and big developments all over San Francisco, so it makes sense that she would endorse Bloomberg. It's disappointing, but it's not that surprising. Now is it, Carl?
Not surprising at all.
What are we gonna do? Go, Bernie!
Okay, thank you so much, Carla and Freddie, for that incredible...
Oh, we really want to thank you for letting us say a few things.
You can check us out down by the Fort Mason.
Yeah, we hang out there quite a bit.
Bye!
Bye!
Okay, Maysoon, let's get back to the real core issues of the podcast, which is ethics, art and ethics.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
I'm teaching a class right now. This is very funny to me. I'm teaching a class at the San Francisco Art Institute on institutional critique.
Oh, great.
Perfect. And I recently did a lecture on ethics, morals and ethics. And so.
And you played them the episode of our podcast?
Sure did.
That is ethically
problematic. Sure never did. Is it problematic?
Well, don't you think?
It well, would maybe be if it was like a book I wrote and I was forcing them to buy it.
Okay, true. Everything
but lots
we do
of
is
professors
free.
Do that.
Is that crazy?
I think it's fine. Who cares?
Hmm.
Okay.
I don't love it. Let's
okay,
it
well,
there.
Maybe it's bad. Okay, here is what I learned to be able to tell my students about it.
Oh, great.
Okay, number one. Here are some moral and ethical theories. Number one, you have utilitarianism.
Okay.
And that is where your actions are judged by their consequences. So say your friend comes in and he's like, hey, check out my new haircut. And you hate the shit out of it. Okay.
Okay.
But you don't want to make him feel bad. So you're like, oh, it looks great. Even though in your soul you hate it.
But it's not going to
But
ruin
so
the
you
world.
Lied. But the consequences are that you made somebody feel good. So
which is good.
So in utilitarianism, that would be good.
Okay.
Okay, but if you move on to deontology.
But wait, really quick, if you told them, if you did the opposite where you told your friend that their haircut looked crappy and they then feel bad, is that still okay in utilitarianism?
No, that's bad.
That's
because you caused you caused suffering.
Unnecessary suffering.
So what utilitarianism, great. The main thing is you want to create more happiness for more people than suffering. And so you judge whether something's good or bad based on that.
Okay.
I think it can get a little like... I don't know. Some of the criticism of it is that it's like hedonistic.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there's deontology, which was Kant's thing. Remember
deontology?
Kant?
That's
yeah,
one.
D-E-O-N-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Okay. Point is there's deontology, which is kind of the opposite, where it's like actually the consequences don't matter at all. It's more about is whatever it is that you've done right or wrong. So if you lie, that's always bad. And they kind of say, like, if your actions were, like, prescribed as a guide for how everyone should act all the time, would it be good or bad? So if you lie to someone, you wouldn't want the whole world to be like, oh, well, it's okay to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You wouldn't want to make that, like, a moral code.
I presume also in a world where people weren't lying, you would also be okay with receiving... whatever kind of feedback, I assume, right? You'd be like, oh, yeah.
Or maybe you just would never ask what people thought
of
your haircut.
Or maybe you'd figure out, like, where you actually want the truth and where you're like, I don't give a fuck. It's just a haircut. Shut up, you know?
I don't know. Sounds sketch to me because, like, what if it's a bigger... This was the example my student gave was, like, what if it's the Nazis at the door and you're hiding Anne Frank in your attic?
Mm-hmm.
Like, then you need to fucking lie.
Yes.
So I say a hard no to that one.
Deontology. And who did you say was behind that one?
Kant. So we say a hard no to that one. Then you have...
I'm definitely all for lying.
Aristotle brought in virtue ethics, where it's not so much about like a case by case what's right or wrong in any certain scenario. It's more about like building up good virtues. So if you like actively work on building your courage, you're going to make courageous choices.
Mm.
And so it's more about like having good virtues and everyone like fostering that in themselves. And it's like a very like self-reflective, self-cultivating kind of thing.
And through that, that impacts the world around you.
Yeah, and you make if you foster humility, you'll make humble decisions. And mm-hmm. Aristotle was dearly loved by animals. That's what aww. I learned in college.
He was like a regular old San Sebastian.
Or like a little Dr. Doolittle.
Is it San Sebastian?
St. Francis.
St. Francis. Thank you. St. Sebastian had all the arrows.
Yeah, he was the patron saint of athletes.
Oh, okay, not that guy.
And archers. In the 80s, you had feminists came up with this form of ethics called the ethics of care that more focused on like personal relationships and like caretakers and the people being cared for, and like focused on like relationships like mother and child, or like the ill people that have illnesses and stuff and mm-hmm. the people that care for them.
In this paradigm, women's nurturing relationships are taken as a model for care, where everyone has responsibilities and an obligation to care for others. In the words of Daniel Engster, caring is understood as everything we do directly to help others to meet their basic needs, develop or sustain their basic capabilities, and alleviate or avoid pain or suffering in an attentive, responsive, and respectful manner.
Yeah, and I was like, sometimes I'll present my students with like kind of hypothetical different situations.
Yeah.
For example, I gave the remember the BP Portrait Prize?
Yes.
That is £40,000 prize for the National Portrait Museum in London.
Yep.
They give a £40,000 prize to anybody can submit, but the money is from BP, and it's called BP as BP as in British Petroleum, right, the oil company. And so this guy, there's also a student award where you get like something like £8,000 or £9,000. Mm-hmm. And the guy gave £1,000 of the pounds to Greenpeace. And so I was like, okay, so you have a friend who's thinking about submitting their work for this, and they are hesitant to do it, and they ask your advice. So what do you say to them?
I guess I would say, great, go apply for it.
Really? Okay, why?
Kind of.
What's the impacts? This is the thing about art, is it's hard to know the consequences, right? Because it's like most of what we do is symbolic. So it's like, is the damage we're doing symbolically by making it look like BP is good because they support the arts, is that equal to like, for example, with the student, like his $1,000, maybe it's actually going and doing something like having Greenpeace guys go chain themselves to an oil derrick somewhere that is actually physically stopping the production of oil, which seems to me to outweigh the symbolic like contribution that artist is making to BP.
Yeah.
Okay, but what do you think about that?
I feel like we'd have to live in a cave to avoid all of the bad things that we contribute to or support on a daily basis. Just like, are you shopping at Amazon? Are you know what I mean? Like, are you going to museums that are sponsored by corporations, like, or banks that fucking, you know, foreclose houses on tons of families? Like, what? There's so many layers to just living, doing nothing in your day that you're somehow being impactful without even knowing it. That I think the benefit to, like, maybe you're winning £40,000 and you can give £1,000 or £35,000 away. But that person also has to want to do that versus just wanting to get the money. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could encourage them to think about that.
Yeah.
In their quest to win that money.
And then also the question was like, what factors do you have to take into account when you're advising your friend?
I guess I would probably also want to know if they were aware of like BP's role in
the environment. Who's not? My God, environment, they're an oil company.
Or, you know, like, I'm also thinking about like,
it's not much more clear cut, like bad. Like,
I know.
You know, like, doesn't Target sponsor the free day at MoMA?
Yeah.
And you're like, Target is terrible.
At New York MoMA, yeah.
Yeah. But like BP is like a whole nother step above. I mean, maybe the only one past that is like Marlboro. Do you think
so? I actually think BP is would be worse.
Okay, legit.
Marlboro is terrible, but I feel like it's doing like individual, like you're choosing.
Yeah, but BP is straight up ending like life on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so that's interesting because that's like a different way to think about it if you're thinking about like the impact the company is. Is it just like impacting a small area or like the whole, you know, yeah. Is it just impacting a local situation or national, global, whatever, right? Yeah. Then I think that turns into a sort of a different moral
and
dilemma.
Probably it's doing both, and then it's like,
yeah,
how are you going to counteract
that? Like, you and I talk a lot about Facebook.
Sure enough.
And their kind of role in the arts, or they're doing the same thing. They're just they happen to be Facebook, not BP.
Yeah.
It's
a different situation though too, because the BP Portrait Prize is like a public thing that anyone can go to, you know, and it's at the National Portrait Gallery is free. So it's like you get a million people coming through. Facebook is commissioning artists to make work that's in a private office.
Right.
No one can come in.
Yeah.
And so I think there's like a side thing of that because it's not public, you almost feel less scrutiny. Maybe to participate.
Less scrutiny.
Right. Because like you could do the entire thing.
And no one would know.
Exactly.
Except for the people who work at Facebook.
Yes. And that they post it on Instagram.
Yeah, because they want their cultural capital.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it.
You know, like they need people to know what's happening in order for them to get pats on the back. I do love these questions. And I think they're really important to think about, regardless of whether or not you can have a clear answer to any of them, you know?
My students are really come down hard, and they are so, like, pure of mind.
I love that so much. Like, thank God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I feel like I was like that when I was a student.
Yeah, so was I.
I thought I would never have to actually make any of these decisions.
It's okay. Let them have those feelings.
Oh, yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah.
I think it's super important. It's easy to be jaded and like, well, I gotta pay the fucking rent, people. Leave me alone.
I think they think about that a lot too, though. That's like a big.
Are they planning on doing that then? Like, what's?
I mean, most of them have jobs now already that they're
at, like,
already
Apple
paying their shit. No, like at coffee shops and wherever. Okay, let's end on a high note.
Speaking of high,
Maysoon, I realized that I didn't give the answer to our trivia question that we asked like 4 episodes ago.
Oh my God, can you remind me of the fucking question?
And I think I also maybe asked this as a question like 100 episodes ago as a trivia
question.
I think
it was like a long time ago.
So, no, I mean, like, I think this is the second time I've asked this trivia question. So I asked,
how is that possible?
I asked, what woman artist from the Bay Area? Okay. Who was living in the Bay Area
or still
went
living?
To UC Berkeley. No, she's passed on. Was one of the earliest women artists to make a graphic novel. And that was in 1946.
Wow.
And the answer to that is Minnie Okubo.
Oh.
But Maysoon, it's very appropriate that we're talking about Minnie Okubo this week because her book, Citizen 13660, was a collection of 189 drawings and accompanying text chronicling her experience in the internment camps during World War II.
Mm-hmm. Which this is like a, this week is the
anniversary of FDR giving the order to do that. Still very prescient.
Yeah.
Yes. But everybody should really check out her book because it really is. It's like a comic book. And you're like, holy shit, this is like super long ago. Anyhow, you should really go check it out. Citizen 13660. Get it wherever books
are sold. How do you spell Minnie? How do you spell her name?
And her name is spelled Minnie, M-I-N-E with an accent mark.
Okay.
Okubo, O-K-U-B-O.
Sweet. Thank you.
And there is a bunch of her work on view over at the Oakland Museum of California.
Now?
You can see her work in the art floor. She's got this painting of a cat. And then in the history floor, I think in their display that is about the Japanese internment, she made a magazine while she was in the prison camp.
Oh, wow.
With other Japanese artists.
Was she in California?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. You mean when she was in the camp?
The camps, because there were camps across the country.
Berkeley students. Well, they were in Tan Foran. They were in Tan
Foran. That's California, though, isn't it?
Yep, in San Bruno. It was a fucking horse racing facility.
All right.
Never forget. Never again is now. Stay vigilant. Speaking of, there were, you know, Raices?
Yeah.
They had protesters at the debate. That's who those protesters were. Did you notice
that?
No,
I didn't.
Yeah, I always wish they would subtitle the protesters.
Oh, yeah, so you can
hear
what
they're saying. You can never hear, and then they just act like nothing happened. But they had activists there at the debate
to, like,
bring attention back to the fucking ICE being a the piece border of shit
problem.
Yeah, and yeah. like separating kids from their families. And
did they talk about that much? Did the candidates talk about that? Was that did that hardly? Come up? Yeah, it seemed like
you know.
It.
And plus, fucking Biden, the Obama administration was a huge deporter of people. Yeah. So anyhow, donate to them. I'll put a link in the underworld.
Good idea.
Okay, so don't forget, voting is coming up March 3rd, and also the deadline to register was February 18th, but we now have same-day voter registration in California, so if you haven't registered to vote, or you meet someone, and you're like, hey, you're gonna vote, and they're like, oh shit, I didn't register, they still can do it.
Yeah.
All the way up to Election Day.
Yep, we have that in our voter guide.
And you can go get more information about that at it's like sos.ca.gov/elections. So we'll be voting from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.